to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. What I want to do today is I want to just read some verses that I feel like it'd be good to just look at some things. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to begin in verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Now when I read that, and I'm thinking about the Israel of God in verse 16, that's that new nation. And it's the only time Paul mentions about it. The Israel of God that's over there today is not the Israel of God. I don't even know whether they're the true Israel or not. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn back to Romans, hang on to Galatians, and turn back to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I'm sorry, go to Romans 9. Not everybody that says they're a Jew is Israel. Look in Romans chapter 9. Notice what he says there in verse... look in verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from God, or accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Who are what? Israelites. To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came. Who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Now watch what he says. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of who? Of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now, unless you trace your genealogy back to Isaac, you're not an Israelite. And so... the Israel of God is those seed that came from Isaac, and that's the children of the promise. That's the Israel of God, and that's the ones that will be regathered during the tribulation period. And that regathering hadn't happened. It didn't happen in 1948. And so all that you see today is a lot of it's of the God of this world to muddy the waters and to And so that's all I'm going to say about it, but just don't be fooled to thinking that as the preachers would have you to believe today, you got to bless Israel to have God's blessings on you. That's not so. You don't know who the Israelites are. And how are you going to bless them? In the dispensation of grace, they are lo am I, not my people. Amen? Are they the people of God? No. Is there an Israel of God today? No, they're not. They was in Paul's day, and it's called the Church of God. For instance, turn back to 1 Corinthians. We're coming back to Galatians now. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Neither give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to what? The Church of God. People say, well, that's the body of Christ. Well, that wouldn't make no sense at all. I'm not talking about the body of Christ there. He's talking about the Church of God. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted who? The body of Christ? Who did he persecute? The Church of God. In fact, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God. Okay? That's one group, isn't it? Which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and us. There's another group. Do you not realize that the Church of God had mixed itself with the church at Corinth? And that's why you have so much confusion there? Look in chapter 3. In chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. I tell you what, go back to chapter 1. Notice in verse 12, or verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of who? Cephas. Who's Cephas? How you know? Because somebody told you. How do you know it's Cephas? Turn back and look with me to John. Let me get there before I tell you wrong. In John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. Folks, you don't never take my word for anything. unless I can read it out of the King James Bible to you. Amen? Don't believe it because I say it. Look in John chapter 1, verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. So Andrew brings Simon to Jesus, and this Simon Peter. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called who? Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. But wait a minute. He was called a rock in Matthew 16. His profession of Jesus Christ that was revealed by God the Father was like a rock upon this rock. Do you know that the only person that ever called Peter Cephas, reckon who it is? It was Paul. Nowhere else do you find anybody referring to Peter as Cephas. But he says, Thou shalt be called Cephas. In other words, one of these days, Peter, his name Peter, rock, one of these days, it's going to be Cephas, a stone like a little pebble. You're not going to be the big guy anymore. Who became the big guy? Paul. Now look back with me and notice this church of God. In Corinth, he said, Now this I say, that every one of you, back in 1 Corinthians 1:12, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Tell me something. Were there some people in the church at Corinth that said that they were of Peter, Cephas? Yes, they was. And they were bringing in some of the signs, some of the miracles. And so, Paul, when he writes Corinth, he's writing to the church of God. He's writing to Gentiles that had heard the message, and he's trying to show them that they're in the body of Christ by the gospel. Folks, people today, in today, the dispensation that we're living in, the now, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, Greek. There is neither in Christ, there is neither male nor female. In fact, while you're there in Galatians, look in chapter 3. In chapter 3. And why is this important? Because religion takes this Bible, misuses the Scripture to get across their agenda to this world, and the body of Christ is sucked into that mess, and today the body of Christ does not doctrinally know what they believe, why they believe it, and we're in a mess. If you don't believe that, you get out and you talk to people. And it's got worse and worse. Look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Well, verse 26, For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Is there Jew or Greek in the body of Christ? No. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Look back in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, notice what he says in verse 12. Romans 10, 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the dispensation of grace, there is no distinction between what nationality you are. Why? God is dealing with all nations with the gospel of Christ. God is not looking for anybody to bless. Now, I don't believe in no country beating up on another country. I believe in if the United States could help somebody that was really in need, then I'd say help them. I wouldn't care who it was on humanity purposes. You just don't want to see people slaughtered and carry on. You'd try to help them. But you can't tell people today are saying, oh, I heard one, oh, if the United States turns their back upon them, oh, if all of this, and oh, we'll be damned and doomed. That's a lie. God Almighty is not blessing one nation above another nation, and God ain't blessing nations if they bless them. In the future, yes, they will. During that tribulation period, after the dispensation of grace is, then God's dealings will go back to the nation Israel. And the true nation of Israel will go into that land over there. And they will be persecuted. They will be gathered. But God has not gathered them. And we don't know when the rapture, as Kevin said this morning, is going to take place. It's going to happen whenever the body's complete. And when that body's complete, then we'll be called out. Then God Almighty will start the prophetic clock again. That's what we mean when we talk about rightly dividing the word of truth. I heard one just yesterday talking about the mark of the beast, how that it was Sabbath Sunday worship. Well, you know where that comes from. That's the seven-day Adventist. They believe Sabbath is on Saturday, which they're right. It is on Saturday if you knew what Saturday was. You understand what I just said? How do you know Saturday, yesterday, was the true Sabbath? Folks, our calendar has been all redone, and it's not the Jewish calendar. How do you know if it's the Sabbath? God Almighty knows. Just like God knows where that 144,000 is. God knows the genealogy of those. They're called virgins in that Bible because their bloodline is pure. And this guy said that the mark of the beast was worshiping on Saturday or Sunday. And he goes on. Well, you know, I got thinking about that. The Bible said we receive it. Well, I've never received it. I don't think Sunday's any different from Monday. You know why we meet up here on Sunday? It's not a holy day. It's because this is the day of the week that everybody's off, or most everybody's off. Nowadays, they want everybody to work, but I mean, right or wrong, most of the people's off on Sundays. So that's why we meet up here. If they started, everybody in this assembly would come and say, look, there's 99.9% of us off on Mondays. Then I'd say, let's have it on Monday. Second thing I got to thinking about, I've never went to the gas pump and tell the people that own the store, I won't buy some gas. I don't worship on Sunday. I'm a Sunday worshiper. Have you ever had to do that? Don't you know the Bible says they that receive, they can't not buy or sell unless they receive the mark of the beast? Since when did your buying and your selling ever depend on whether you worshiped on Sunday or Saturday? You see how stupid people are? How religion can just blow people's minds? I've often said that you fool around with this book, God will fool around with your brain up there. Back in Galatians now. The Israel of God. Today, there is no Israel of God. Today, God is saving men by grace through faith. Today, we live in a day when God's not angry with this world. God has been angry with it, destroyed it in Genesis chapter 6. God, the psalm says that God is angry with the wicked every day, and unless he turns, he's going to destroy it again. But he turned at Calvary. And he's been turned ever since. And he sent out a man, and with that man a message that God Almighty would save anybody, anywhere, anytime, if they'll trust His Son as their Savior. And today the message of grace should be preached in all of the world. But it's sadly it's not. In Galatians chapter 6 again, notice what he says there in verse 12. Verse 12 says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. That's the key number one. That's what religion does. Religion makes a fair show of the flesh. Religion wants to glory in numbers. Religion wants to glory in their buildings. Religion wants to glory in what they do. They make a fair show of the flesh. If I was going to give a title to these verses, it would be Religion versus the Body of Christ. Notice he goes on, he said, as many as desire to make a fair show of the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. They constrain people to do a work of the flesh. They put pressure on them to do a work of the flesh, to do something that can be seen or something that can be heard. Why? Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. You know, we've had people to come here and say, oh, this is the greatest message. Oh, I'm learning so much. And I just love to come here. And then, all of a sudden, persecution. All of a sudden, family starts putting pressure on them. All of a sudden, something happens. And they get their feelings hurt or the heat of the battle comes on. And you can't find them. They're gone. Oh, what happened? The message never changed. The Word of God never changed. They could not stand the persecution. They might have blamed it on something else or said this or that, but most of the time people that leave the assembly, they leave it. They're looking for a reason to leave it anyhow. And anything I do, just give me a reason and I'm out of here. And that's where we're at today. These people
They want a fair show of the flesh. They want to be glorified. They want to boast in their numbers. They want to boast in what they do instead of what the Lord does for them. Religion. Turn with me to John. Hang on to Galatians. Turn back to John chapter 12. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. John chapter 12. This came to my mind, so. John chapter 12. Do you know why today teachers and preachers don't believe this book rightly divided is in John chapter 12? Look in John chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. They believed who he was. They believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. You know, at the judgment seat of Christ, I want God to praise me, don't you? You say, well, he's already spake what? Yes, he has in Christ Jesus. My standing in Christ will never change. These people, they knew who Christ was. They wouldn't confess him. Why? They didn't want to get persecuted, put out of the synagogue. They didn't want to get banished from their denominational system. They didn't want the persecution to come along with confessing him. So they just would not. Why? They loved their brethren. They loved their people. They loved the praise of man more than the praise of God. Well, where are you going to get the praise of God at? Ain't in this world. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is why people don't want to rightly divide. This is it. It brings persecution. You could take that verse back in Galatians where it says they constrain you to be circumcised and insert baptism, and you'd have the modern day dilemma. You'd have what Paul was going through about circumcision because of the Jews. We go through baptism today through the denominational systems of the world. And there's none of them that even knows how they should perform. Some say sprinkle, some say dip, some say in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost, some say in the name of the Lord, and some say in the name of Jesus, and some, if you don't do it this way, it don't count for nothing, and on the thing. Some you got to lay down and put them face down. Some you lay them back down, their backs first. I mean, show me in the Bible where God told anybody how to perform water baptism. Not there. But yet, John did it. And you know, John was out there baptizing out there, and in John chapter 3 and in John chapter 4, it said that Jesus and his disciples was there baptizing, although Jesus baptized not, but his disciples, and they're all out there. John's baptizing, Jesus is down there baptizing, the 12's down there baptizing. I mean, they're both down there, and they come up to John, and they have a question about purifying. And they say, John, he's baptizing more disciples than you. That was their question about purifying. But nobody run around to John or Christ and the 12 and said, "What in the world are y'all doing? What is this new thing y'all got going on?" Why? Those Jews knew what they were doing. Why? It was a part of the Levitical priesthood ordinance. That's why Jesus Christ was baptized. Old John says, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me." And Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so, for thus it behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness." The fulfillment of the righteousness was of the law, and he was to be a priest, and he was to go into the ministry as a prophet, priest, and king. And one of the requirements of a priest was to be washed in running water, and Jesus took him down there and poured that water on him. And after that, the oil of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit descended on him. And it's a type after Moses took Aaron and the sons, and he dipped them in water and poured that water on them. And then they took the oil and poured on their heads, and it run down all over them. That was the anointing of oil. John takes Christ, God's high priest, and washes him or dips him or purifies, whatever. He didn't have to have it, but it was a part of the law. Don't you understand? He said, "I come not to destroy the law, but that the law might be fulfilled." And there he is. And then the Holy Spirit, as the oil descends on him, and there he's manifest to the Israel as the king. As their king, as their prophet, as their high priest. And so the religious systems of the world says, "Oh, that's a good show of the flesh." And then you have some says, "Well, brother, you don't have to. You got to be baptized, or you got to get saved." And then you got a group over here that says, "Well, let me tell you something. Peter said, repent, be baptized for the remission of sins." He said, I don't try to quote it right. He said, "Repent ye therefore and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Same thing that John preached. In Mark chapter 1, John came preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. They go down to John's baptism confessing their sins. Yeah, they go down and Peter says, "Repent ye therefore, turn from your sins, change your mind about who Christ is, be baptized for the remission of sins," and on the thing goes, and they're out there baptizing with water, and then somebody comes along and says, "Well, I believe it shows forth the death and the burial and the resurrection. What has happened inwardly is a testimony." So all it is, it's just a testimony, and it has no value, but it's a testimony of what has happened inside. I've often wondered, why in the world don't you do it more than once? I had one guy tell me, he said, "Well, so it's a symbol." Said, "I wear this wedding band as a symbol that I'm married." So I was standing there. I said, "You see that guy right over there? Yeah. See that lady over there? Yeah. Can you tell me whether they've been baptized or not?" Where's their symbol at? Well, you gotta see how they back up. Flash. You know why they constrain people to buy? They want to count. I was reading a little paper while back, well, it's been a couple years since Ford June's mother passed away.
And they had in there, and they had a big old thing there from this Baptist church. Praise the Lord. So that caught my eye. So I said, well, what are they praising the Lord about? They had 25 baptisms for that month. And say nothing about them, whether they were saved or not, just 25 baptisms. And I thought, God is so impressed. That just got me right here. Say, well, why are you down? Folks, that's what religion does to people. They strive on the flesh. They want you to live a perfect life. And they want you to quit this, quit that. And I think you ought to live a life that honors the Lord. But you know what honors the Lord? Your testimony of salvation. How that He saved a sinner. By grace. That's what honors the Lord. Look down with me in the passage back in 1 Corinthians. He said they constrain you to be circumcised, baptized, or whatever it is to do a work of the flesh. It don't have to be. It's whatever. The only thing is, there ain't many people constraining people to be circumcised today. That's not a great church builder there. If you come in here and you got to be circumcised to join this assembly, and who's going to do it? So you could put anything, whatever the work of the flesh is, if it's to walk the aisle, if it's to come, if it's to confess your sin, if it's anything in the flesh. Then he goes on and he says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Boast in their numbers. This is how many we had. This is what it is. Verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Folks, that's what I'm talking about. It's the glorying of the cross. That's what brings glory unto the Lord. That's what honors the Lord Jesus Christ. It's when you are honoring the cross. It's when you do not take anything away from the cross, from His work that He did for you on that cross, from the gospel of your salvation. People become enemies of the cross of Christ. Why? They add to the cross. They say, believe in the cross, but it's the but that gets people. There is no buts about the cross. You either trust Christ and what He did for you on the cross, or you don't trust Him. And it's not about you. It's not whether you asked enough. It's not about whether you believed enough. It's not about you. It's about what He did for you. You can't take my testimony. I was saved in a hotel room. You can't take my testimony and say, well, mine's not like Brian, so maybe I didn't get it, or Brian didn't get it, or whatever. It's not everybody's unique. But it's one thing in common. We came to the Lord for salvation and we trusted Him. And
Every time I preach the gospel of Christ, every time Kevin teaches Robbie or anybody that comes into this assembly and they preach and teach the gospel of Christ, that's an invitation for you to believe it. It's up to you. Jesus Christ, Paul said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." How shall they call upon Him in whom they have not heard? Well, let me just read that. Look back in Romans chapter 10 a moment. Romans chapter 10, he says there, So verse 14, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed?" And there's the key. Your belief, your faith, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For by the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Folks, when I preach the gospel, when the gospel's preached, or taught, or whatever, and you see that your sins have been paid for, God offered a sacrifice for you. There's nobody in here that's excluded. God offered a sacrifice in your behalf. Because you could not offer it for yourself. You can't pay for it. And He offered His Son. And His Son bore His wrath for you. And God judged His Son in your stead. And God's sacrifice satisfied Him, and that sacrifice become the propitiation for the sins of the world. It's the satisfaction. It satisfied God's wrath against you and the world. It satisfied God's judgment against you and the world. And all you have to do is receive it for yourself. Do it right now in the pew where you're sitting. Right now, I am a sinner. I do believe that, Lord, and I trust You as my salvation. And right now, do it. And if you do it, mark this day down. And that way you can say, "That's the day that I put my trust and faith in Jesus Christ." That's what brings honor and glory. Not in the numbers, not in the fleshly activities, not in anything I do in the flesh. But my testimony of what He did for me. And the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Will you believe it? And if you have believed it, will you proclaim it and help get it out for His glory? Shake hands with one another and you can go. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Winston.